Somebody's excited to be in the house of God this morning. I know I'm excited because I believe wholeheartedly that I do have a word for you. And I'm going to come and I'm going to deliver it. But I'm going to tell you this much. You have to prepare your heart to receive it. All I can do is give it to you. And what you do with it from this moment till the moment you leave is between you and the Father. And so as we, if you will, as you stand with me, I never want to never give honor because I am so thankful that my pastor gives me the opportunity to stand behind this sacred pulpit. I'm nervous. I get people sometimes get tickled at me, whether I'm opening up, whether I'm preaching, or whether I'm closing. I am a nervous wreck, just being honest. But I believe that that keeps me honest between the Father and you. Because I can't do this without Him. You can't walk without Him. You can't do anything without the Father. Because when we find it in ourselves, then we will fail. And so thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. I want to start with the scripture, and then we'll pray. I want to start with 2 Corinthians. Verse 1, I'm going to read most of my reading out of the NLT. Verse 1, chapter 19 through verse 20. It said, I want to start at 18. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one who Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, He always does what He says. For all that God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen. Which means yes. Ascends to God for His glory. If you'll bow your head. Father, we thank You. We magnify You, Lord. We glorify You, Jesus. God, I believe, Lord, that You've given me a word, Lord. And I'm asking, Father, that You hide me behind Your cross, Lord. Lord, every word that comes from my mouth, Lord, let it be ordained by You, Lord. Lord, I don't want to say nothing more or nothing less, Lord, than what You want, God. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord, as the people, Lord, that are here, I believe every person that is here, every person that is watching, God, it was ordained by You this morning to be here. I pray that You open their ears and their hearts to what You want to say. Not what I have to say, God, but everything that You want to say this morning, Lord, will never fail to give You praise. Amen. Thank you, Crystal. I love the King James Version also in this, as I titled my message, Yes and Amen. See, for the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. I can remember growing up hearing my grandparents talk, and maybe there's some of you in this building this morning that remember them moments where a man or a woman would make an agreement with somebody, and it was maybe just a simple handshake of my word, yes. And so sometimes that handshake, but we live in a day and time where that's not the case anymore. See, we live in a day and time where there's lots of contracts. There's lots of fine print. There's lots of detail of the things we sign because not everyone always trusts our word all the time. Not everyone, they want to look for the ways to sidestep the commitment that they made to their word. And a lot of people, I remember growing up hearing my grandfather when he was in business, he would just talk about how we would shake on that because his word meant everything to what he said. And so I came up on this story that I want to read that I think is, I really liked, and I liked the way that it ended. It's a story by Booker T. Washington. It says, Booker T. Washington described meeting an ex-slave in Virginia in his book called Up From Slavery. And here's his exact quotes in this book. It says, I found this man had made a contract with his master 2 to 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation to the effect that the slave was to permit to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was to be permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. Finding that he could secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. When freedom came, he was still in debt to his master, some $300, notwithstanding that the Emancipation Proclamation freed him from any obligation to his master. It says this black man walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the very last dollar with interest in his hand. In talking to me about this, the man told me that he knew that he did not have to pay his debt, but that he had given his word to his master, and his word had never been broken. He felt that he could not enjoy the freedom, I want you to get this, until he had fulfilled his promise. You see, we live in a day and time where our promises are not always committable. We don't always commit to the word we said. And I've had people, and this is where when Pastor Sean said, you know, I did have the Lord beginning to stir a word in me. And I love painting. I know it's crazy, but I love painting. I get some type of gratification out of it. I love it. I love to paint walls, no artist painting. But I love to paint. And in the moments when I'm with God, I feel like that is when he really speaks to me. And this is what he spoke to me. And I did share this on Facebook. He said, this is what I felt like that he had put in my heart. A thought that came to my mind. It said, God has given us 66 books of his word that are filled with so many promises. But as Christians of God, we find it much easier to believe the voice and the lies of the enemy than we do the voice of our own Father. See, you know what I'm saying? It's easier to listen to the lies of the enemy when the word of God is filled with so many promises. I don't make promises. You don't make promises to your children that we can't keep. But our children know that if I promise them something, I'm going to come through. The same way with our Father. If our Father promises us and he says yes and we say amen, then we can take it to the bank. And you can cash that check. Because he is not a man that would lie. I'm not going to lie to my girls. I'm not going to lie to you. Your father's not going to lie to you. You see, as Christians, we live in this hope. This hope of God fulfilling his promise in our lives. And unfortunately, sometimes, Pastor, that's as far as we get. We hope. We hope. We hope God will do this. We hope he will see us through this. We hope this happens. See, we never get beyond the place of hope. We never get beyond the place of hope. And then when we get stuck in hope, we find ourselves being frustrated with God. We find ourselves mad at God. God, why have you not done this? God, why have you not done that? God, do you not hear me? Do you not see me? Because we're simply hoping. When his word says yes and amen, we're simply hoping. See, God desires to fulfill. The same way the slave said, I cannot be free until I fulfill my debt to my master. And see, God is saying, I have already fulfilled the promise. All you've got to do is go after it. You don't got to do nothing but surrender your life to me and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, God, your yes is my amen. You see, in between and hope and alone, we never get beyond the place of hope. Hope is the in-between waiting. I believe hope is where we get in the in-between waiting to the promise being fulfilled in our lives. Hope is where we can let our faith be activated. Faith is an action word. We have to have faith. We have to have faith. We don't always see what God is doing. We may not always understand what God is doing. But when we activate the faith on the inside of us, and we can say, God, I may not see it. God, I may not feel you. God, I don't know what you're doing. But I can promise you one thing, God. I believe that you are a God of yes and amen. Your promise in my life is yes and amen. But I want to tell you there are two types of promises. You have conditional promises and unconditional promises. Pastor, the testimony that you shared is a conditional promise. He says to come and give, to give. And what will he do when we give, which is our act, is our action, is what we do in faith, even when we don't have it? He said, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. But see, you've got to first give. You've got to do it. You've got to act upon it. You've got to activate your faith. You've got to do and make the promise come alive in your life. But only you can do that. You see, we don't always like that part. We like to say, God, pour it out on me. And there's nothing wrong with that. We like to say, God, give me this. God, give me that. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless us. Because as his children, that is exactly what he wants to do. But we don't want to do what is required. We don't want to do what is required. You know that conditional word, that commitment, that conditional word, that all the promises that God has for you are yes and amen, and some are conditional and some are unconditional. You see, they are contingent upon us saying yes, God will do it, and us saying amen, so be it, Father. Sometimes the promises that we have laid out before God maybe don't always turn out the way that we want, or maybe the way that we think. And so we get caught up and we get frustrated. See, because so be it says no matter the outcome, no matter, God, what the outcome is, God, I'm going to trust you. That God, no matter what it looks like while it's happening, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I want to give you just a little background. I want to step back a minute to what I feel is a very familiar story of Moses and the people of Israel. You see, God had given them a promise and promised them the promised land. They wandered for 40 years before they got there, though. And they started off with Moses. You see, they didn't even enter the promised land with their first leader. There's going to be some people throughout your life that you feel like is going to go all the way with you. But sometimes God has got to remove some people out of your life to get you exactly where God is taking you. Because where you're going, not everybody is going. Because where God is taking you, he's not taking everybody there. Not everybody can handle what God is doing in your life. You see, Moses was the man that God had chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land. But see, back in Numbers 20, they all found themselves in this really bad situation. They arrived to the desert of Zin to find that there was no water for them. They had no water. The Israelites, in their nice form and fashion as they get, they got grumpy, they were agitated, they were frustrated, and they began to ask Moses and Aaron, it says, why did you bring us to this barren wilderness where there's no water to drink? I think that's some of us sometimes, right? We get in a dry place. We get in a place that we don't understand where God has placed us. And we begin to say, God, what are you doing in our life? God, I don't understand why you've left me. God, I don't understand why you've allowed this to happen or why you've allowed that to happen. And we begin to blame God. And we begin to get frustrated at God. Then we forget that the promises of God are yes and amen. But here they were. Here they were. And Moses and Aaron begin to ask the Lord and said, What should we do? And God gives Moses very specific instructions, jumping down to verse 7 and 8. And it said, and the Lord said to Moses, and assemble the entire community as the people watch. Speak to the rock. He told him to speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. He told him, speak to the rock. I don't know about you, but when I hear that scripture, I think sometimes, God, that's some funny instructions. It's like Abby said today, if you don't worship the rock, is the story, and this story is a very critical moment for Moses. In verse 9 through 11, so Moses did as he was told. He took the staff, from the place where it was, kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come, gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels. He was mad. Isn't that how we get mad? God, sometimes we get real mad when things aren't going our way, when we're not seeing the promises that the word, those conditional promises, that the word says, you do this and I'll do that. And see, that's where they were. Moses was mad. God was saying, Moses, you do this and I'll do that. But sometimes we like to take measures into our own hands and say, God, you need a little bit of help. God, you need me to do this. And here was Moses, all mad, letting himself get in the way. And he shouted, you rebels, he shouted, must we bring you water from this rock? Then Moses raised his hand, struck the water twice with the staff, and water gushed out, so the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. See, God told Moses to speak to the rock. Sometimes God is telling you to do something specific, but yet you want to do it a totally different way. You want to do it the way that God is not telling you or asking you to do it. But instead, Moses struck the rock two times. And based on Moses' reaction, his frustration with the people, he was so frustrated with the people, he had had enough. And because of Moses' disobedience and his lack of trust in what God had told him to do, he would not lead the people into the promised land. So many times, God is saying, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, you'll see this. If you'll do this, I'll give you this. But that's the thing. You've got to do the conditional thing that comes along with it. But I want to fast forward. I wanted to show you what happens when we don't trust and when we disobey the word of God in our life. Again, there are 66 books in the Bible that will tell you exactly what to do, how to do it. God can begin to reveal things to and through you, but when we only want to pick the things we want. This sounds good. I'll apply this to my life. That sounds great. I'm not so sure about that. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to tithe. I don't want to have to give a gift. But Lord, I want you to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on me that I cannot contain. But God, I don't have that to give because, God, we got funner things to do. God, I want to go on a vacation. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm not here to preach on you giving because I know. I'm like Pastor Sean. There was a point in time at the beginning of mine and Dwight's marriage, we didn't even give. We look back and wonder how in God's creation did our bills even get paid, because now when you begin to put God first in everything, God will begin to pour out the yes and the amen in your life. He will begin to pour out the yes and the amen in your life, even when it's not fun. So I want to fast forward to Joshua 21. So who's their new leader? Joshua is leading them. They have taken the promised land with the leadership of Joshua. Joshua 21, verse 43 through 45 says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land He had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it and settled there. And he, the Lord, gave them rest on every side. Stop there for a minute. In the moments of frustration, in the moments of wondering, God, what are you doing? He says he gave them rest on every side. See, when we align ourselves with the promise of the Father, and we say, God, whatever you want to do, all the exhaustion of it, all the things that we create, his word says he gave them rest. He will allow you to rest. Just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors, none of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises. Not a single one of all the good promises. Not bad promises. Not promises that are just crazy off the chart. But all the good. Because God wants nothing but good things for you. God is a good, good Father. He wants us to please Him. And in return, He will give us the good promises the Lord has given to the family of Israel. None of them were left unfilled. Everything He had spoken came true. Everything He spoke came true. You see, God had given Israel the promise. I'm telling you, I love this. He had given Israel the promise. He had given the promise to lead them into the promised land. As soon as God promised it, it was done. It was done the moment that He promised it. I'm not talking about the promises that we conjure up in our head and say, but God, I want. There's a difference between wanting and what God wants in your life. See, I believe we can pray things into our lives that God's saying, I really don't want to give you that. I really don't want you to have that. And then we got to be like the children of Israel. We got to wonder for 40 years, wondering how we even got in this mess. But if we can get our wants away from the good things that God wants to give us, that's when we move ourselves out of the way. You see, as soon as God promised it, it was done. The only thing left for Israel to do was to possess the land. That's all they had to do. That's the only thing left for them to do. The scripture we just read says that not one of God's promises was left unfulfilled. You see, God's promises don't fail. This was the point that Israel had not driven. There was that point that they had not driven the inhabitants out of the land. But they had to fully take possession. They had to fully do and drive, because that is what the Lord had told them. In Numbers 33, 52 through 53, He tells them, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you destroy all their figure stones and destroy all their metal images and demolish all their high places. What's He say? And you shall take possession of the land, settle in it, for I have given you the land for you to possess it. See, that's all we've got to do. All we've got to do is follow the instructions of the Lord, and He will fulfill the promises that He has for us. His yes and our amen. His yes that says, this is what I have for you, and our amen that says, God, whatever you want, so be it in my life. So be it, Father. See, the problem isn't the promise. The problem isn't the promise, because the promise of God is perfect. You and I, we're not perfect, but the promise of God is perfect. And the problem is that the recipient of the promise failed to believe the promise. See, that's the problem. It's that we fail to believe the promise when God has given us the promise. And in doing so, we don't believe the promiser. We don't allow our trust to activate. We don't allow our actions to activate, because then we don't believe the promiser. God had given Israel the promise, but they had not possessed the land. The promise would have never been fulfilled had they not driven out the inhabitants, their enemy, out of the land. See, that's the same way with us. God promised it, but see, they had to begin to walk it out. See, God has put things in our lives, or we got things in our lives that God is saying, I'll promise this to you, but we've got to learn to walk it out. We've got to learn to let Him lead us. We've got to learn to let Him guide us. And that's the thing, is sometimes it's easier to allow the things that we're comfortable with to hang out and not drive out the very thing that we want to hold on to. It's easier for us to be comfortable in our life with the things when God is saying, I've got promises. I've got your yes and the amen in your life. But it's easier for us to say, but God, this is comfortable. This is what we know. This is what we're familiar with. So it's easy to stay there, but it's time that we drive out the things in our lives that that we need to obtain our promise from God. His promise is perfect for us. We have to come out of the, I hope he will do this. I hope God will do that. I hope. That hope is where God does not want you or I to remain there. God and I does not want you and I to remain. Our children hope for things. They hope Santa Claus will show up. They hope the Easter Bunny comes. They hope, they hope, they hope. And we get caught in those things of we're hoping and we're hoping and we're hoping. And we hope and we keep hoping. But we're never grasping the true promise of God in our lives. But we have to move beyond hope and into the victory of the promise. I remember many, many years ago, and I wish I would have thought to have Trevor, because I know he could have created something really cool for this. But she, Pastor Darlene Bishop, I don't know how many of you may or may not know her. She's up in Monroe, Ohio. She preached at a church that we used to go to. And I love this that she used. She says, believe. Because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every time. See, because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every time. I don't gotta hang out in the hope, but because he lives, I believe and I know that he will be victorious in my life. And all I've gotta do is believe. Why? Because he lives. He is alive, and his promises are yes and amen. All you've got to do is grab a hold of them and believe it for yourself. His promise for my lives are made, is for our lives are made perfect. As I said earlier, not my wants, although God wants to give us the things our hearts desire. Again, do those desires line up with his will in our life? Not my wants, not my desires, not my long list when I get down to pray of God, I need this, I need this, I need that. God, I need. Sometimes I need to say, God, what do you need from me? God, what do you need from me today? God, what do I need to do for you? Have you ever thought about going to the throne of the Father and quit saying, God, I need, but God saying, what do you need from me, Lord? What can I do for you today? But those yes and amen promises, they're meant for you. They're meant for I. It's easy for people to say, well, God, don't do that anymore. That was in the Old Testament. That was in the day of this. That was in the day of that. God, don't do that stuff anymore. Or maybe that's not really what that scripture means. That's really not for you. It's that picking. The whole book of the Bible is for you and I. It's filled with so many promises of the Father. And the question is, are you willing to trust him? But see, when we tie the hands of God on his promises, being yes and amen, we nullify the promise that God has for you and I. And I looked up the definition of nullify, and it means to make null and void, invalidate, make no use or value. To cancel out. That is the thing. When we nullify the promise of God in our life, we cancel out every blessing that he has for us. We begin to cancel out. Why? Because we listen to the lies of the enemy that says, God's forgot about you. God don't care about you. God don't care what you're going through. His word isn't yes and amen, because then you wouldn't be going through this. You wouldn't be facing that. But God's promises are yes and amen. Hebrews 13:8. I didn't give him this one. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 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 What he did yesterday for the Israelites, he'll do today, and he'll do tomorrow, and he'll do the next day, and the next day. But you've got to put your trust into action and know that he's going to do it for you. His promises are yes and amen. I want to look at 2 Chronicles 1 verse 7, 14 to remind you of the conditional. Then if my people who are called by not my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Here's a perfect example of what a conditional promise looks like. Humble themselves. One. Pray. Two. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then what did he say he will do? The condition based on what we do. He says, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land. I believe wholeheartedly that God can give us that promise if we will do the things that are required for us to do. And that is to seek his face, to pray, to humble ourselves. Boy, that's a hard word. We live in a world where nobody wants to be humble. Humble looks like you're weak. Humble looks like that you're just giving in to somebody. But when he says we do all of these things, and turn. Maybe there's things in your life that have creeped back in, and God said, turn from those things. Turn around and get away from those things. Maybe you've allowed the blessing of God to be there, but you've let some things creep in. God's saying, but turn around and watch and see what I'll do in your life. That's what God is saying to us. Before we close, I want to take a look at just two scriptures. You may say, well, Darla, you've shouted all these conditions that we have. Sometimes we don't like, quote unquote, rules. Rules aren't fun. But you know, I learned in my psychology classes, do you know children, and this is no big theological thing, I think most people, do you know children love structure? They love it. They won't come and beg you, Mom, please set my bedtime for this. Mom, tell me I have to be home at this time. Tell me I can and can't do this. Don't, you know, they love the structure of life. They love the structure of rules. They love structure. And it's proven, and you can see it, when all the craziness of these children who are left to fend for themselves, it's complete chaos. And so we don't always like rules. That's sometimes people's like, well, I don't want to be a Christian because then I can't do this, I can't do that. I don't look at my Christian walk with Jesus as things I can't do. I look at it as the things I get to do. I look at it as the things that he wants to give me that I can do for him. When we look at a Christian life, if we view our life as being a bunch of don'ts, we can't, we got to follow these rules, then you've got it all wrong, because that is not God's plan at all. For my girls, my plan is to see them prosper. My girls is to see them grow up to be godly women. My girls is to see them to be a great product of society. That is the rule. So I put rules into place to see those things happen, but it doesn't mean they don't live a happy life. They do exactly what they want. Sometimes a little more than I should let them. They go on vacations. They lay around. They do. They get. And that is the same way with our Father. We do. He gives. And then we still get frustrated at him when something doesn't go the way we think it should go. But here's two unconditional promises right off the bat. Genesis 9, verse 11. Says, yes, I'm confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. That is an unconditional promise. You and I have to do nothing for that promise. It's a promise he made to us. Hebrews 3:5. I'm going to jump down and just go to, for God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. I don't know what you're going through today. Abby, if you come to the music, and Crystal, whoever, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you are facing. But I can promise you his word, a promise that requires nothing except I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. Some translations say I will never forsake you. You may say, well, Darla, I don't necessarily believe that because there's lots of people who God is not with. And that's because I believe we are the ones that remove ourselves out of the will of God. We are the ones that remove ourselves out from underneath his hand. He's right there. Romans 4:20 through 21 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. In our time of waiting, in our times of confusion, in our times of wondering, in our times of saying, God, why? Why is this taking place? Abraham was one of those. Abraham was one of those. Him and his wife Sarah wanted a child, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited till they're in their 90s. I don't know about you, but if I was having a child right now, just go ahead and check me in somewhere. And I'm not even 90, but I know that I am beyond the diaper bags, beyond the not sleeping through the night. Life is great in that area. But I'm not ashamed. I am 40. Am I 46? I'm 46. So I don't need no babies. But he said he was fully convinced that God's will able to do whatever he promises. His faith never wavered. His faith never wavered, if you'll stand. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our faith. We waver. If God don't move when we think he should move, we get mad. The same as the Israelites. They were mad at Moses and Aaron. Here you done it again. You brought us somewhere where there's no water. There's nothing here for us. And sometimes I think that's what we do to the Father. Here you are, God, because I think we get mad. We get frustrated. God, what are you doing? I don't understand. They passed away, God, and I saw your face. God, this happened, and God, and it still didn't happen. And all the things. And we find ourselves getting angry. See, the promises of God are not yes and then no, because God doesn't waver. See, the promises of God, he doesn't say, Darla, I don't know. He doesn't say, maybe. Now, I say maybe to the girls. Emmy asks questions all the time. She wants to do, and I say maybe. That means no. Probably. Because she likes to go. But see, the promises of God are yes, I will save you. Yes, I will heal you. Yes, I will deliver you. Yes, I will set you free. Yes, I will supply all of your needs. My answer is yes and amen. Yes and amen. But you've got to want it, and you have got to go after it. The promises of God are yes. The promises of God are amen. So be it. The promises of God are already done. You have to activate your faith and go after it. You have to trust and obey him. God's looking for someone who will say, yes, I will go the way you want me to go. He's looking for someone that will say, yes, I will say it. Even when it's uncomfortable, God, I will say it. I will do it. I can handle it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Yes, God, I can make it happen. God is looking for some yes and men and women of God. When we trust the promises of God, we position ourselves to receive the fulfillment of those promises in your life. Faith enables us to see beyond the current circumstance and believe that God has our best interest. Even when we can't see it, he's working. God is simply saying to you and I this morning, be obedient and watch me work. Show me your faith and watch me work. Show me your faith and watch me work. I believe there are people in this building this morning. You're frustrated at God. You're kind of mad at God this morning. This afternoon now. You've been asking God and you've been seeking God. I want to share a brief testimony. I've only shared it back in the youth, and I'll be very brief, much longer than what I'm going to give you. I would lie and tell you There's never been a time in my life that I've not been really frustrated with the Father. I don't care who you are. There is none of us who are perfect. We go through our moments of, God, what is going on in my life? Sold my house in 2020, had COVID, and we moved in a rental, and that's a whole story in itself. But in that moment of time, it wasn't probably until about this time last year, I went for a year and a half of complete oppression, depression, anxiety like I never felt it before, to the point that I would sit and read the scriptures. God, you've given me peace, love, and a sound mind. God, I believe this. And then I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up, and I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up, and the enemy would come, and he'd say, you're serving a God that is dead. He can't even get you out of this. To the point, I'm just being honest, I begin to say, God, are you even real? Are you even real? I've preached about you. I've lived for you all my life. I've done my very best, and I can't even get out of my own head. I would turn the worship music on, and I'd say, God, you've got this. And I remember one time the enemy, Dwight and the girls went shopping for Christmas, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I remember, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get my Bible, because the enemy would come at me. Trust me. Just because someone is behind this microphone, or behind these microphones, or behind there. Don't think the enemy doesn't try to infiltrate into their minds and going to battle them. Because the enemy tried to tell me, you're going to die while everybody's gone. When I was a young girl, the enemy used to find me and say, you're not going to wake up in the morning. When I went to Niagara Falls as a little girl, the enemy, I stood on the Canadian side, because that's when you could go. And we had just watched a video, and I heard the enemy like I never heard him before. He said, jump. Jump. Do you know why? Because the enemy would love nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy your life, and you not receive any of the promises of your Father. Yes, will the enemy fight me with you? Shouldn't have told him all that. That's okay. Because if I can share what I go through, if I can share the things that I face, if it just helps one person, if it keeps one person from the pit of hell, if it keeps one person to grasp the promises of God, then I'll share it. I don't know what you're coming here with. I don't know what you're facing. But I can promise you one thing. The lies of the enemy that says the promises of God are not for you are a complete lie from the very pit of hell. And the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. If you'll bow your head, Father, we thank you. God, I thank you, Lord, because I know the word that you've given me, God. God, I'm asking, Lord, I rebuke every demonic spirit. I rebuke the devil from hell that would try to come in and take this word and not let it fall on the ground that was prepared. God, I'm asking, Lord, that I'm believing, I'm saying amen, because I'm believing this word has been sealed in the hearts of the people that are here and that are watching. And God, I believe, God, that you are going to do great things of restoration in this altar so that your people will know that the promises of you are yes and amen. Yes and amen. So as your heads are bowed, I want to always give an opportunity. Is there anyone in here that says, I have never given my life to Christ. I don't know him. If you're in here, will you raise your hand and let me just see you? I'm not going to come. I'm not going to grab you. Nobody's going to do that to you. I just want to know if you're in here or not. Or maybe you have given your life to Christ, but maybe you have fallen away. Maybe you need to rededicate. Is there anyone here who says, you know what? I do. I need to rededicate my heart to him. Is there anyone? Amen. Is there anyone? Anyone else in this room? All right, most of us are at the point that we can say that if the Lord was to come back, I'm going to heaven. If you'll raise your head. No, quiet makes some people nervous. It used to make me really nervous. I used to think I had to just bounce off the walls. But sometimes in the still moments, in these quiet moments, it's when God speaks the loudest. I've said it already. I don't know what you're going through. There are some in here that as I was worshiping them, the Lord brought you to my mind. I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Even to the point that when Dwight came over after he was standing over here, I asked him, is so-and-so here? He said, yep. Because I didn't see you. But God saw you. And I am so sick and tired of the enemy's lies. That they sound so loud, that they resonate in our minds so loud, that in the moments when it's quiet, we can't even hear the voice of the Father. I feel God this morning. I do. There's a stirring right here on the inside of me. If I could begin to reveal it to you, I would, but I believe wholeheartedly there are some people in here that you have given up on the promises of God. You have given up on the promises of God because you're frustrated. You're not seeing them. You're just not seeing them. In my moment of about a year and a half of wondering, God, what is going on in my life? I believe that we go through things so that we can go through things with some people. And see, had I never gone through that, I could never speak and say, I always say this. Dwight tells people all the time, God can deliver you from drugs. It's a different thing when I look at someone and say, man, God can deliver you from drugs. You ever been there? No, but I know He can do it. Then don't talk to me about it sometimes, right? Because I don't know. I know who my Father is. And I know what He can do. But if I've not been there, it's a little harder. God healed me of Guillain-Barré. I was paralyzed. I could not walk. I can speak to the healing of God. I can speak to that because it's evident in my life that I shouldn't be walking today. But I am because He healed me. It doesn't mean that I can't speak to everything of God because I believe that we can all speak to who God is. But I'm speaking directly to you today. The one that says my anxiety is up here. My state of mind that I'm living in is up here. I'm up here to with God. I'm up here because His promises aren't true. They're not yes and they're not amen in my life. Because that is what the enemy is telling you. That is the lie. And I believe, again, He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if He can begin to steal the promises of God in your life, then destruction can begin to unravel in your life. And then the next thing may be, unfortunately, hell. We don't talk about hell enough in the church. We don't talk about hell enough in the church abroad. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about abroad. We don't want to talk about that because we don't want to scare people there. No, I don't want to scare you there, but I want to speak reality. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And what we do while we're here, we will either, when we die, we go to heaven or we go to hell. And so, God's come this morning, I believe. God's come this morning to rebirth some things back in your life. To bring those promises back to life that are in there. Maybe you're not seeing them. Maybe you're not feeling them. But He's saying, if you'll trust me, if you'll obey me, I will make the promises yes and amen, because yes, it's already done. Amen, because you and I say, so be it, Father. So I want to challenge you. We read a book not long ago, Uncomfortable Church. And sometimes, I don't want to make you feel extremely uncomfortable. And I do. Because the Bible says, if you be ashamed of me before my Father, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Some of the hardest things to do is to come to this altar and to say, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. It's all falling apart, Father. It's all messed up, God. I don't feel your promises, Father. But I need you. So I'm going to challenge first. If you're in here and you say, you know what? That's me. That's me. This word, I believe this word is for everyone, but this is me and where I am in my life. Are you bold enough to say, I'm going to come forward? Come on. Are you bold enough to say, grab the person's hand next to you and say, I'm going to come. I'm not going to make you come. We will eventually all come. But I would love to see a boldness that lets the enemy know, no longer do you have a hold on me. No longer can you keep me from the promises of God. No longer can you talk into my mind. No longer will you control my every move. No longer I draw a line in the sand on this day. Right here, right now. Is that you? Come on. Let the enemy know. Let the enemy know. I will no longer let you have control of my life. I know there's more. I'll wait just a few more minutes. I'll wait just a few more minutes, and then I want us all to come. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, God. God, I know that you're dealing with hearts right now. God, I know, Lord, that you're dealing with hearts right now. And so, Lord, I'm asking, God, those that are struggling to draw the line in the sand, Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you do it. That you do it. That you do it, Father. Do it, God. Do it, God. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Says, I'm drawing a line in the sand of this.